You're listening to Fracturing Football, where producers Luke Donovan and Spencer Fleischer break down the latest in NFL news, only on 91.3 WHJE.
Welcome back to Fracturing Football, Season 3, Episode 4, only on 91.3 WHJE. I'm your host, Luke Donovan, and I'm glad to welcome back my co-host, Spencer Fleischer, and alongside us, our guest, Griffin Hadley, and maybe a little bit later, David Wiederhaft will also join us on the show. And with the first quarter of the NFL season behind us, we're going to break down each team a little bit and see which teams are going to have some more of a fantasy impact coming in these next few weeks. So we're going to start out with the AFC East, and we're going to look at the Patriots. And so far, the highest scoring position for the Patriots has been their defense, number one overall, in their respective position, and it's not very close.
Yeah, the reason for that is obviously just their matchups. The Patriots have played the four easiest teams in the NFL, maybe disregarding the Bills, because I feel like the Bills might be legit this year. But the Patriots defense have gone up against the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills, so it's not going to be hard for them to score upwards of 20 points as a defense.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you, Spencer. I think that I've been talking to my buddies who have the Patriots rostered for their fantasy teams, and they're like, hey, guess who my best fantasy player is? Well, it's actually 11 players, and it's the Patriots defense. So I think it hasn't been surprising just because, like you said, Spencer, the matchups they've had have not been too difficult thus far in the first quarter of the season. But I think it has been interesting because in past years, the Patriots defense hasn't been a huge fantasy producer. They've always been consistent, and they've maybe been the 10th to 12th best fantasy defense. But this season, they've been extremely productive, and I think it'll be interesting to see if they can keep it up in these next few weeks and as the season continues.
Yeah, they do have three defensive touchdowns on the year, and that is huge when you're looking at a week-to-week basis, but I don't know if they'll be able to keep it up. However, in the next 3 weeks, they're at Washington, who's had a lot of turnovers. They play the Giants without Saquon Barkley, and then they're going to go into New York and play the Jets again. And so I think their easy schedule is going to let them be a top-five defense the next few weeks.
Yeah, it seems like this 100 yards a game, and Frank Gore could be that guy.
Yeah, so now rounding out the AFC East with the Miami Dolphins, is their only value whoever's playing them?
Yeah, their only value is the defense that's playing them. There are people in my league who are actually picking up defenses 3 or 4 weeks in advance who are playing the Dolphins so they can have them in the future.
I'd have to say I agree with you, boys. I think that when you're looking at matchups for your players on your team, if you see someone on your bench that is playing the Dolphins, I think you should think to yourself, they could be in your starting lineup. I tried to trade for Dak Prescott a couple weeks ago just because the Cowboys were going to Miami and they were playing the Dolphins, just because in the past weeks people had been putting up monster numbers, monster amounts of yards against this Dolphin defense. And I think the only value the Dolphins have is that if you have players playing against the Dolphins, they better be in your starting lineup.
Yeah, it seemed like the Dolphins made it easy.
Welcome back to Fracturing Football, only here on 91.3 WHJE.
All right, so now we're going to move on to the AFC West here. And up front, Patrick Mahomes, so far coming in at number two at the quarterback spot, but he's on pace for another MVP season.
Yeah, I completely agree. Mahomes is coming out throwing 2+ touchdowns a game, 3, maybe 4, and he's just finding the guys that aren't normally found because of Tyreek Hill's absence. He's going to Sammy Watkins, Maurice Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson. All of those guys who I wouldn't even consider starting if Tyreek Hill was in are maybe a low-tier flex option because they have that potential for breakout plays.
Now, in my opinion, I think if you're in a league with about 10 people in it, I think these Chiefs wide receivers, to be honest, are not very reliable. I think without Tyreek Hill being in that lineup, Tyreek Hill's a must-start when he is in that lineup. He is Mahomes' guy, just like Kelsey. That duo of Hill and Kelsey out of the Chiefs offense, is really, really dominant. But with Tyreek Hill out of this lineup, we've seen Mahomes spread the ball all over the place. He's been super consistent with averaging 26 points over the course of this year so far. But if you ask me, Mahomes and Kelce are the only must starts in those offense because these wide receivers have not been consistent thus far, and Mahomes has been finding different guys 70 yards down the field in every single week so far this season.
Yeah, didn't find a passing touchdown in the most recent matchup, but if you're looking at what I believe is their best wide receiver in Sammy Watkins, ever since that week one game with 9 receptions, 200 yards, and 3 touchdowns, he hasn't had the rest of the season to follow it up. He had 5 receptions and 64 yards, and that's his best game since in that week 3 matchup against Baltimore. I think he's spreading the ball way too much. And when you look at that backfield especially, you have a 3-headed monster back there with Damian Williams now coming back off an injury. LeSean McCoy, the old veteran that's played with Andy Reid before, and you even have Darrell Williams a little bit too.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, Luke. For me, seeing that Melvin Gordon's coming back and how Austin Eckler's been playing like a top running back in the NFL, I think he's second on position rankings. So how do you guys think this Chargers team is going to handle this Melvin Gordon comeback? Do you think they're going to go back right to Melvin Gordon or make it more into a split backfield like the Denver Broncos?
I think Eckler's definitely going to still have a role in this offense. I don't know if he'll see as many attempts on the ground. I mean, he had 18 last week against the Dolphins. I don't see him getting around there. I think he could have maybe 10 or 8 carries, and he's going to get those receptions. I mean, he's had over 5 receptions in every game, 3 receiving touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns on the year, the second overall running back just behind Christian McCaffrey. I mean, you can't bench this guy. So far, he's done amazing things for the Chargers, filled in nicely for Melvin Gordon. I expect to see a split backfield for sure.
Yeah, I know head coach Anthony Lynn came out and said that Gordon will definitely be limited in his return just because he has not been with the team in training camp and now the first 4 weeks of the season. And if I'm head coach Anthony Lynn, I cannot take Eckler's role out of this backfield. He has been producing like none other, and for fantasy wise he's been averaging 26.8 points, like you said, the second ranked running back in all of fantasy. Last week, coming off a 29 point game, I think that Eckler will still produce, but I think it should be interesting to see how the Chargers use Gordon and Eckler, and I think it should help this Chargers team become more successful when you just talk about football in general.
Yeah, I have Austin Eckler in my 14 man league.
Division is just very good on offense, and if you look at Tampa Bay, arguably the worst team in that division, currently Chris Godwin, number 3 in the position, Mike Evans just behind him at 4, Jameis Winston has played very well this year so far for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, this is probably the most on and off team in the NFL, most inconsistent. Every once in a while they'll come out, they'll beat a team like the Rams, but this just won't last. It's possible that it'll last because of Bruce Arians, their head coach. He's a veteran head coach. He knows how to coach up quarterbacks. But right now, I just don't see it lasting.
I actually really like the Buccaneers' fantasy value right now. I only see them trending upward. With Mike Evans being disappointing in the first 2 weeks, he's coming off 2 weeks where he went for 45 and then 19. I know that's a big jump from 45 to 19, but 19 is still a positive fantasy week for a wide receiver. The wide receiver position is so tough to score points week after week after week because you got to get open, right? There's some lockdown corners in this league that they take on wide receiver ones and they shut them down. We saw that with Keenan Allen this past week, but we'll see what the Bucs can do, especially with Godwin and Evans and Winston. We'll see if they can really continue to produce in the upcoming weeks.
Mike Evans over 45 points, Chris Godwin over 41, and I mean that production is very much a key to this Tampa Bay offense. Moving on to the Panthers, a lot less weapons on
running back to start, maybe running back 1 if you really need him there.
And that's all the time we have today on Fracturing Football. Tune in 2 weeks where we'll come back to you with more NFL news only on 91.3 WHJE.
Thank you for listening to Fracturing Football, hosted by Luke Donovan and Spencer Fleischer, only on 91.3 WHJE. Tune in next time for more NFL updates.